I'm going to talk about anxiety today and the Christian, how we can deal with anxiety being a Christian. Now, anxiety is something that affects everybody at some point or another. Everybody's had it. It's been a problem since the beginning of time. One of the major problems of humanity is being anxious about things. And the Oxford Dictionary of Anxiety is this: a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. A feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. Have anybody ever felt that before? I have. The psychiatric definition of anxiety, according to Oxford Dictionary, this is not some psychiatric thing, a nervous disorder marked by excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. Now, and then the second definition, the second regular definition, that's like 1A in Oxford. Then definition 2 is a strong desire to do something or for something to happen. I'm anxious for you to come visit me because I'm excited because we're going to go to the zoo or something like that. Okay, that's a good kind of anxious. I'm not going to deal with the psychiatric one because that just opens up too many other topics. Right. We're going to talk about, you know, quote, normal anxiety that everybody kind of experiences. Okay? No worries. Yeah. One of my favorite songs is Don't Worry, Be Happy. I love that song. I love it. Whenever I'm feeling kind of anxious, I'll put that one on and sing along with it. Anyway. So in the Bible, the word anxiety as it is not really there, but there's a word that is translated as anxiety, and that word is merimneo. Okay, you don't really need to know this, but it means careful or to be worried about, and if you want to look that up, it's Strong's number 3309, okay? And according to the Oxford Dictionary, or an article I read online, sometimes a little anxiety is okay, like that little voice of disquiet that tells you that something's wrong. Like you're driving down the road and you get this feeling of anxiety and you realize, wait a minute, I left the stove on. Okay, that's a good kind of anxiety that tells you to turn around. Sometimes your conscience can cause you a feeling of anxiety. If you're violating your conscience, then you will have feelings of anxiety, okay, until you stop violating your conscience and make things right, okay, that you'll definitely have feelings of anxiety. The definition for that Bible word, merimna, literally comes from a word that means to be drawn into different directions, apart, separated from the whole, figuratively a dividing, a fracturing of a person's being into parts. Isn't that weird? You wouldn't think that, would you? Well, okay, I'll give you the English spelling of a Greek word. M-E-R-R. I-M-N-A-O. Like you said, it's Strong's number 3309. Okay? Strong's Concordance 3309. They've got a dictionary in there, too. Okay. So, you know, the Bible says in James 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah says, why halt ye between two opinions? Either God is God or God is not God, you know. So have you ever had that anxious feeling if you're trying to make a decision and you can't decide what to do? And it's important. You can get anxiety from trying to make a decision that you don't know which way to go. Or even if you have too many choices set in front of you, you can get frazzled and anxious. I mean, I can even get a little anxious looking at a menu at a restaurant. You know, not really seriously, but you know, I mean, you can get a little bit, I don't know. You know, so it says a something separated from the whole. So that tells me, I'm going to take that a little step farther and say that the root of anxiety is separation from God. Because when we are separated from the whole, we're supposed to be in the vine, right? Abiding in the vine. We're supposed to be in him. Well, being separated from him and his, or mentally thinking that he's not looking after us, he's not taking care of us, we're on our own, whatever, that will give us feelings of anxiety. Okay? Like, and anxiety is also very closely related to fear. Like, the first time you see anxiety in the Bible is in Genesis. Genesis 3. Where'd it go? Genesis 3. Jan, you got that? Genesis 3. Yeah. Yes. That is when Adam and Eve took the apple. Go on to the next verse, please. Okay. She saw it made her wise. She was tempted. Then the eyes of them both were open. They both knew that they were naked. Okay, they had no idea about the knowledge of good and evil was they knew all about good. They were totally acquainted with good because they were friends with God. Everything around them was good. They had no fear ever. Everything was great, you know. But then they were open. They saw they were naked, and somehow that made them feel anxious and fearful. You know, they said this feeling that wasn't right. I guess they had a conscience, huh? And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves apron-like girdles. Okay, go on. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Go on. Okay, among the trees. Go on. God said, "Where are you?" Go on. He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." So there you've got disobedience to God, separation from God, and fear, anxiety, and hiding themselves. Okay? So violating your conscience, doing something that you know is against God's will, is going to bring fear and anxiety to you. It just does. You won't feel so great anymore. You'll have this thing inside you that just feels not good. You know, when I was a kid, I went into a Woolworth store in Newark on Main Street, Janine, and they used to have candy sitting out in big open bins. Okay, I was out, I don't know, maybe 8 years old, 7 years old or something. I was in there by myself, and I picked up, they had candy corn in this gigantic bin, and I picked up a piece of candy corn and popped it in my mouth and walked out of the store. I still feel bad about that. I remember it to this day. I knew I wasn't supposed to take that piece of candy corn. Yeah, I've confessed it and everything. It's under the blood, but I still feel bad about it. Huh? It haunts me. Okay, so let's see, what does Jesus have to say about anxiety? He had some things to say. Okay. Let's look in Matthew chapter 6, which we already talked about this morning. And it's really funny that Barbara said that about, I said something about anxiety, give your anxieties to God. I don't remember saying that. But it's really funny you said that because I would plan to teach on anxiety today and you didn't know that. And it's really interesting. Okay. Matthew 6:25, in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not gonna read the whole thing because it's really long. It's great, but it says, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life." Now I'm gonna go over here and read it out of the Amplified. "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? And then he goes on, he tells you some reasons not to. And then 27, and who of you are worrying, being worrying and anxious can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence was not arrayed like one of these. And then 31, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Okay, then let's go over to Luke 8, verse 5. Luke 8, verse 5, where Jesus gives us the parable of the seed and the sower. Okay, so you all know the parable, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But, you know, one of them fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it, okay? Then over in verse 14, okay, it says, as far as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated by the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen, come to maturity and perfection. So we can actually choke the word of God in our lives by worrying. We can actually choke out our spiritual growth by being anxious and worrying. So you can actually stunt yourself. You know, there's no point in blaming somebody else. We can just do it to ourselves. Okay, Luke 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38. And now they were on their way. It occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening at his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one, or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. So he said she was anxious about many things. Now, I guarantee you, Martha was not a bad person. Martha loved Jesus. She was a good person. And her love language was probably acts of service. Whereas Mary's love language was probably words of kindness. Is that the one, words of something? Affirmation. Yeah. That's probably what it was. But I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, Martha's mother had put into her, this is what you have to do to keep a good house. You have to keep your house like this. And if people come over, you have to do this and this and this. And if you don't do it, maybe she didn't say these things, but by example, and just, you know, this is how it's got to be, or you're just a flop. You're not a good hostess. You're not a good, you know. So she was freaking out. Okay, she was totally stressed out because all these people came over. She had all this food to fix and all this stuff to do. I know, I've been there myself. I know exactly how she felt. And there's Mary sitting there just listening and leaving her to do everything by herself. And she's just stressed out to the max, and she's freaking out. Okay? And Jesus has a totally different viewpoint. He says, oh, that doesn't even matter, Mary. I don't care. I don't care about the meal. I don't care about all this stuff. I don't care about it. It doesn't matter in the long run. I mean, that's a really different perspective, isn't it? How many of you get really freaked out when someone's going to come over to your house? I do. Oh, Josh, you liar. A lot of our anxieties are put on us unconsciously from our families who love us, but that's just the way they were taught. You know, they were, you know, it's just there.
Or from yourself,
yeah, but you get that somewhere, you know. It comes to you when you're a baby. You're not born anxious, you know. That comes on you later on. And you don't even realize you've got these things. You don't even know it's there. Okay. Now, I'm going to go on here. So what were the things that that Jesus said people were anxious about? Their life, you know, basically everything. Food and drink. Okay. I know people that are just totally, totally obsessed with what they eat and what they drink. I know couples that get in arguments about what they're going to eat for dinner. You know, I'm serious. Especially health food nuts can be this way. Yeah. You know, they're just like totally obsessed about it. Your body, okay, how you look. You know, we're surrounded by images of beautiful people all around us, celebrities. And, you know, a lot of those pictures are touched up anyway. You know, they're photoshopped. You know, their hair. Nobody's hair looks that good in person. You know, nobody. I don't care what you put on it. You know, it's all photoshopped. Okay, then your clothing and appearance. You know, like, how do I look? How does this look? Does this look fat? Does this make me look fat? You know, I mean, we're just, you know, how long will we live? You know, how much more time do we have on this earth? Okay, the future. You know, what's going to happen in the future? Jesus told Mary she was anxious about many things. She wasn't just anxious about the food and the preparation. She was anxious about a lot of stuff. We can be anxious about relationships, income, bills, where we live, our health, our family's health, politics, world affairs, personal holiness. Okay, we can get angry. You know, listen, you cannot crucify yourself, okay? It's impossible to crucify yourself. Even if you can stand the pain of the first three nails, that last nail you cannot put in yourself. So you cannot make yourself perfect. Don't try, okay? Don't try to make yourself perfect. Don't be looking inward all the time to see what's wrong and what you got to change. Keep your eyes on God, you know. He said, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the more that we set our hearts and our minds on Jesus and on Father God, on the Holy Spirit, thinking about the good things, that takes over. You know, it takes over and it chokes out. It will choke out the weeds. If you don't leave room for all that negativity, we are so surrounded with negativity. We don't even realize how much negativity is around us. And some of us got negativity from our parents. Some of us got a lot of criticism from our parents. And so just to feel like you're worth anything is a victory, you know. And sometimes some of us were bullied in school, made to feel stupid in school by kids or whatever. You know, those things are not from God, and you just cannot believe all those lies. He made you good. He had a plan when he made you, you know, even if he made you with a body that you don't really like all that much. But he had a plan. So he had a plan, and his plan is always good. Amen. And we may have some things in the flesh to overcome, but when we're filled with the Holy Spirit can help us, and we're washed in the blood. You know, we can go through it. We shouldn't dwell on all the bad stuff so much. Try to dwell on the good stuff. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. So worrying about these things, as I said before, and other things that the Holy Spirit may show you will choke your spiritual growth. Okay? A lot of people get really, really upset about world affairs and politics. Okay? If you listen, you watch the news, read a lot of stuff online. Okay? You just have to be careful not to get overcome by this stuff, because it can take over your mind. Okay? You can take over. And we've got, oh my God, we're going to, you know, we're in a handbasket. God, you know, America's lost, the world's lost, whatever. You know, we know that. Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation. And he said that he's coming back and there's going to be a lot of bad things happen. Okay, we know that. That he said that. Okay, so that's not new. Okay, we just have to keep our eyes on him and not get distracted. Okay, cure for anxiety, Philippians 4. 6-9. How many of you know that Paul had a few things to be anxious about? I think he wrote this from a Roman prison. Okay? Roman prisons were not a nice place to be. They were not like American jails where you get a bed. No matter how uncomfortable, you still get a bed, you get 3 meals a day. You know, it's dry. You have a bathroom. You know, I mean, Roman prisons were not like that. They were dark, and you were probably chained up, maybe chained to the wall or something. I don't know. They probably just threw some straw down there for you to lie on. It was cold, damp, or hot, depending on time of year. You know, the food was probably really nasty. You know, they didn't give you a nice dinner. And, you know, he was probably thinking, man, I should be out there going all over the place preaching. Here I am stuck in this hole, you know. He had a lot of things to be anxious about, stuff that we don't have a clue about. Okay. But he said, Philippians 4, verse 6, where is it? Next page. Okay. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort of thing that is, of whatever sort that is, the peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? So we're supposed to, if we have feelings of anxiety, we're supposed to pray about them. Okay? We're supposed to give them to God. Now, you know, we may have a fear of something. Okay, we don't know if that's a genuine warning from God or if that's something that's in our minds, okay? So if we don't know, we pray about it. We give it to God. Give it to the Lord. Ask him to show you, you know, what it is. Okay, my brain just flew out the door. Let's see. My little thought just went away. Maybe it'll come back. Okay. Hold on here. Peace. Okay. Peace is the opposite of anxiety. Okay? So we do that, and we do it with thanksgiving. Okay? Don't just do it. You got to thank God for hearing your prayer, for being your father, for taking care of you. I tell you what, if you start thanking God for all that stuff, you'll stop feeling anxious anyway. It'll go away. Okay, then you're going to get peace that you don't really understand where it came from, that people in the world can't really explain why you feel peace, you know, because it's something that they don't understand. Okay, so the peace will take over, and it's going to guard your heart. I mean, it's going to put a wall, a fort, a fortified fort around your heart, okay? And it's going to guard your heart from being destroyed, brought down. Okay? All right. You know, and then he goes on and talks about good things to think about. For the rest, brethren, and this is what I was talking about before, Whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any value and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. Well, that eliminates TV right off the bat. Okay, you can't watch. Okay, in our modern culture, the devil has been able to cause people to venerate and honor negativity, unhappiness, misery, suicide, evil, depression. Look at our great, quote, great literature, modern great English literature. Right. Catcher in the Rye, I mean, The Lord of the Flies. I don't know if anybody read that stuff. What? You know, it's all depressing. It's about unhappy, confused people. Then you've got, popular obsessions with demons, zombies, vampires, serial killers, demon possession, horror movies, soap operas, depression, then music the list goes on. I mean, listen to a lot of music is so depressing. Like, I know, it's just dark. It sounds, some of it actually sounds like people are being tortured. You know, like some of the heavy metal stuff. Oh, you know, I always loved Simon and Garfunkel when I was younger. You know, I loved their harmonies, melodies, guitar, acoustic, really pretty music, you know, melodic. That's the kind of stuff I always like. Well, John got me a really nice, total, 100% selection of Simon and Garfunkel. And I played it. It was like, I don't know, three CDs or something. And I listened to it. That is the most depressing music. Their songs, except for maybe one or two, are so full of negativity and depression, cynicism. I mean, they're just, it's just, I couldn't listen to it. I had to put it away. So, right. So, yeah, but that's depressing. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I mean, really? Then it talks about all these bad things written on the subway walls and everything, all the, you know. Yeah, right. Now, Bridge Over Troubled Water, I really like that one. I think that's a great song. I liked the Feeling Groovy song. That's a nice song. But that's really about it. Anyway, suicide, right? Romeo and Juliet, suicide. You know, young lovers who went too far and killed themselves. Oh, Shakespeare is full of depression and everything. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I'm not against learning Shakespeare because I think we should learn Shakespeare because he was such a great poet. Everything, but you got to realize these are unsaved. Shakespeare was not a Christian. Okay, he was not born again. So you have to put up a little wall there. Don't let... Now, you can pick up anxiety from people around you, too. Okay? You can pick it up from your family members, friends, you know, or just even people in the church who start talking to you and you start to... Then they're all worked up about something. You know, you can feel it come over you. And you're like, ugh. I mean, so you have to separate yourself. You have to, like, break an ungodly soul tie there. Now, I'm not saying cut the person off, stop being friends with them, or, you know, don't love them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you make a separation there between you and their anxiety. You don't let that anxiety come on you. Now, we've been given dominion. God gave man dominion, right? The first thing we've got dominion over is ourselves, and that's called self-control. So we have perfect authority to not allow someone else's fears and anxieties come on over us, okay? You know, family members are great at this. You know, they're all worked up about something. They can guilt you to the max about stuff, you know. And because they may, you know, they might be saved. I don't know. But whatever. People shouldn't try to manipulate each other and guilt people stuff and, you know, really manipulate people. You shouldn't do that. Not everybody realizes that. And people don't even know it when they're doing it. Sometimes it's just kind of second nature. And another thing is, like, you know, you need to be aware of yourself and your feelings, not ignore them. Like, there's a new definition for mindfulness that I've seen around. It's something like emptying your mind out, which is, like, totally the opposite. I don't know what, it's some kind of New Age thing, and it's a bunch of baloney. But mindfulness, to me, means being aware. You know, you're mindful. You are. We need to be aware of our feelings. Don't ignore your feelings. So if you feel, if you're feeling niggling anxiety or whatever about something, think about why you're feeling that way. You know, you may be have trouble with something. You might be upset about something, but that's not really what's bothering you. Something else underlying it, maybe what's really you're worried about underneath it all, you've got this worry. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah, you have to think about it, and then you have to give that to God. You say, Lord, I'm worried about this. I didn't realize I was worried about this, but I am, so I'm going to give it to you, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me the answer, okay? We have to know rock solid trust that God is always with us, always cares about us, no matter what, okay? No matter what we do, he's with us, okay? And think, Paul said in Romans 12, if God be for us, was it 12 or 8? 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know? He's for, you're his child. He loves you. You don't throw your kid out if they make a mistake or they, you know, do something wrong. You don't throw them in the trash and get rid of them. No. You love them still. You want the best for them. You're going to be there even more for them, you know? That's how God is with us. Okay? Psalm 139 is a really good one to read. Thou hast searched me and know me. You know my getting up, my sitting down. Okay, you can ask God to show you what it is you're anxious about. If you can't figure it out, ask him. You know? Ask him and he'll show you because he knows you. Psalm 23, that's a good one. I got it memorized. When I'm upset about something, I'll just say it. I might say it as many times as I need to say it. 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, that's a fantastic psalm, okay, to lift your spirits. Singing choruses. Great way to do it. Sometimes you just put on some music, sing along with it. I was at a point in my life at one time when I was just really, really down. And I just made myself sing all the time. I made myself do it. And it was really hard at first. But after a while, it started getting better and I started feeling really good. God started speaking to me and before I knew it, I was out of that. Now I'm not saying it took a couple days. Okay. It didn't happen like in 15 minutes, but sometimes you've got the authority to do that. You can do that. You know, you don't have to just be passive and, you know, some people get an adrenaline rush from anxiety, drama, and crisis. Some people really feel like they've got to be in a crisis all the time, and they've got to tell you all about it, too. Okay. So if that's you, I don't know if anybody in here is like that, but you need to repent because that's not God. God wants us to be in peace. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you to heal your soul in that area. And if you need to talk to somebody, you know, talk to somebody about it and get them to pray with you, you know, someone you trust to help you get over this. I mean, there's nobody here like this, but I've known some people that when I was just, they'd talk to me and I'd get a headache because it was just so full of anxiety and stress. You know, I just started to get a headache listening to them. Anyway, okay. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But it may not even be a demon. It may just be your soul responding to their soul. You know, it's not always a demon. Sometimes, compassion. You really feel for them. And people, you know, well, some people are really good at getting you to feel sorry for them. So not that you shouldn't have compassion. I'm not saying you be cold and hard, but just ask the Lord to show you, you know, to show you. I mean, we've got enough of our own problems without, you know. And usually those people, if you talk to them and give them some solutions, they don't want to hear it anyway. I'm not, right. They say, yeah, but this, yeah, but that, yeah, but this and this and this. They say, okay, all right, whatever you say at that point. It's like, okay. I hope I've covered everything I was going to cover. Did this help anybody? Did this, like... It's probably nothing you don't know already, but anyway. Yeah.